Believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything. Those words sounded all familiar to you. You may have read about them or heard them in the last week or two. It's actually the tagline of a new series of Nike ads. Just a week ago or two, the new ad campaign was controversial. But in this time of 24-hour news cycles, that controversy already seems to be fading a bit into the distant past. Still, the tagline at least caught my attention. The primary ad features Colin Kaepernick, the NFL football quarterback. He is the quarterback who chose to kneel during the playing of the national anthem to protest ongoing violence against young persons of color in our nation. And of course, his action, that kneeling, became controversial. Since being released by the San Francisco 49ers, he has not been hired by another NFL team. Believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything. And for now, at least, for Kaepernick, it's sacrificing his vocation, his career. Now, you and I know that ultimately the goal of Nike is not to instill ethical values in the life of the nation. Their goal is to sell shoes. And yet, the words of their campaign sound like a worthy sentiment, don't they? Or do they? President Dwight Eisenhower once said, "Our government has no sense unless it is founded in a deeply felt religious faith. And I don't care what it is." Eisenhower seemed to be saying, believe, as long as you believe in some faith, it's a good thing. But what if you believe that your religious faith calls upon you to identify enemies and then to wipe them out? This past week, we commemorated the 17th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. The human beings who carried out those attacks believed in something. As it turns out, they believed in a gross perversion of their particular faith, and that led them, yes, to sacrifice everything, even their lives, so that they might cause death and destruction and terror. They believed in something, and they sacrificed. So sacrificial offerings are in and of themselves not necessarily noble things. It all depends on what you choose to sacrifice for. Now, here in this community, we shape and form our lives around the particular life, death, and resurrection of one person. And Sunday after Sunday, in our creed, in our confession, in our praise, and in our prayers, in a sense, we are proclaiming in one way or another something not that far off from the words of that Nike ad. Except we say it this way: believe in someone. Believe in someone, even if it means sacrificing everything. Believe in Jesus Christ, even if it means sacrificing everything. Indeed, in Mark's gospel lesson this morning, Jesus himself puts it this way: if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. Believe in me, follow me, even if it means sacrificing everything. Now, those are not the most inviting words to offer on what we are calling Gathering Sunday, when we're back, many of us from summer schedules, when we're hoping to welcome new people into this community and extend a warm greeting. Welcome to St. John's, and prepare to sacrifice your life. Not sure we're going to be putting that on our ad in the Patriot Bridge, but maybe we should. I would much rather promise you that if you become a follower of Jesus, God will take care of you. You will find lovely and supportive people here, sermons that will never challenge or provoke you, and that you will never be asked to extend yourselves in ways that somehow take you beyond your comfort zone. Peter wanted to believe that Jesus was the Messiah, but he also wanted to believe that the Messiah would not need to suffer, and probably more important for Peter, that Peter himself would not need to suffer or take a risk on behalf of Jesus and the gospel. But you and I know the fact is that the daily choices we make are not about whether we're going to be sacrificial and make sacrifices, but rather, much more often, it involves which sacrifices will we choose to make. To say yes to one thing and one person is to say no to another. You've probably made some sacrifices just by being here today. You said no to some other choices. And some of you who are parents probably had to say to your children, no to some other choices. Well, those of you who have borne children or who have contributed to the rearing and support of grandchildren or stepchildren, you know the reality of making sacrifices. And those of you who have attended to the declining health of parents or of a spouse know the meaning of sacrificial living. Those of you who have spent money and time and effort to go to our nation's borders to bear witness to welcoming immigrants, you know the meaning of sacrificial living. And we know how challenging it can be. Bishop Mary Adelia McLeod, the retired Bishop of Vermont, tells the story of how her perspective on life changed when she became a mother. Because she knew once she had born a child that she would do anything necessary to protect and save her children. She would step in front of a car if she needed to protect them. Then one day as she was in her backyard working in her garden, she heard her son, if I recall he was about 5 at the time, calling her name. She was preoccupied with her work in the garden, and he had to call louder until she finally recognized the panic in his voice. And turning around, she saw him standing there, paralyzed, with his foot on a poisonous snake. He was frightened and unable to move. And she knew exactly what she had to do. And so she turned her back on him and she ran as fast as she could away from that snake. Well, she goes on to say she ran to reach her neighbor's door, who then came with a shovel, disposed of the snake, and saved both mother and son from their fear and their panic. We think we know the meaning of sacrifice, and indeed we engage in sacrificial choices in our lives, but there will come those moments when we recognize that we cannot fully follow Jesus. Peter believed he knew what it would mean, but when Jesus spoke of the cost of discipleship, Peter wanted nothing to do with it. And indeed, we know when ultimately he was presented with the opportunity to ally himself with Jesus in the courtyard of the temple, Peter turned away. He denied Jesus, unable to take up his own cross in that moment. But if Peter in that moment could not believe in Jesus, Jesus still believed in him. We heard those rather strong words in Mark's gospel today that Jesus said he would be ashamed of those who denied him and when he came again. And yet we also know the story from John's gospel that having risen from the grave, when Jesus encountered Peter on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, he forgave him and called him again to follow, to feed the flock, to tend to the lambs. So if you wonder about the challenge of becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ and whether you can fully believe and act on those beliefs, know this: God believes in you God believes in me. And God believes in our capacity to live as disciples of Jesus. God believes we have the capacity to lose ourselves in generous and life-giving ways. And God does not promise us the protection from the pain of sacrificial living. Rather, we are promised freedom from fear. For God believes that we can be loving fathers and mothers. We can be supportive and faithful spouses. We can give of our time, our talents, and our treasures, and our very lives if necessary. We can strive to live as loving and forgiving people, fulfilling our baptismal vows, to strive for justice and peace, and to respect the dignity of every human being. We can strive, we can succeed, and yes, we can fail. For God knows we will see a snake and turn away in fear. We will see a cross and decide we cannot bear it. But we also know that, like Peter, we will be given again and again the opportunity to heed the wondrous call of Jesus Christ in our lives, and to find those lives by losing them for the sake of the gospel. Amen.